We have a treat for you today. Brother Michael Hare is here with us from Arkansas. He's not too far from Austin and a little bit further from Little Rock. And he's been with UBM for many years, and a good brother, quite helpful and a blessing. And he's been active in evangelism. And so we asked him to come and share some testimonies with you and his witness and maybe some advice on evangelism and whatever the Lord puts on his heart. Are you there, Michael?
Yes, sir, I am, David. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Well, God bless you. Have a good time sharing with the saints. We'll just listen to you.
Okay, David, thank you so much for inviting me. Greetings, everybody, across the airways. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight, kind of give my testimony and kind of work it into some evangelism and tell you about some testimonies that have happened to us along the way, some healings and deliverances and things like that. I ran from God. For many, many years. And at the age of 50, I accepted Christ and focused on Him from then on. And anybody that knows me, that when I focused on the devil, I gave him all my attention. But when I focused on God, I gave Him all my attention as well, in the other direction. And I praise God for that, for what He's done in my life. Like a lot of other people, I was saved in a Baptist church, baptized in a Baptist church. And right away, I found out, you know, that there were some things missing, and I was searching. And they made me a Sunday school teacher right away because I was willing to do anything. You know how new converts are. They're ready to do anything for the Lord. Anyway, I was teaching a young class, I don't know, probably elementary school, and I did that for a while. But during my stay there, I was still searching. I was searching the scriptures, and I was seeing things that weren't being taught, and I was asking questions. Well, I shouldn't have been, but anyway, I was. And one day I was at a Bible bookstore, and a gentleman came up. I was in the Holy Spirit section, and a gentleman came up, and we started talking, and he asked me, he said, "Is there anything wrong with you physically?" And I thought that was kind of a funny question, and I said, "Well, I'm not, you know, I'm sure there is," and I remembered that I had been diagnosed with a rotating cuff in my right shoulder, and I was in excruciating pain any time that I moved my arm in the wrong direction. I couldn't scratch the back of my head, as a matter of fact, and I couldn't lay on it at night. It was that bad. And the doctors had told me that they were going to have to operate on it. But anyway, I told him that, and he said, "Well, would you like God to heal it?" I said, "Sure," you know, thinking that he's going to go somewhere and pray in his closet somewhere, and I was going to, you know, get that away. But he wanted to do it right there in the Bible bookstore. And, of course, being the way I was, I said, "You mean right here? You want to do it right here?" And he said, "Yeah, if you want to get healed, we'll do it right here." So he had my wife put her hand on my shoulder, and my daughter put her hand on my shoulder, and I basically just said, "I command that shoulder to be healed in the name of Jesus." And he backed up, and he said, "Now do something you couldn't do before." And I said, "Well, I couldn't scratch the back of my head," and I scratched the back of my head, and of course this incredulous look came on my face because I had no pain then. And I wound my arm like a windmill, and I remember saying, "I just don't believe this. I don't believe it." But there was no pain, and he said, "Michael, don't be saying that." He said, "Start confessing the good confession, you know." But anyway, I knew he knew something, and so I hooked up with him, and for about 8 months, we went all over the Mid-South every weekend, and we would witness on the street and see healings and miracles, I'm telling you, all over the place. We always went down into the poor part of town. And I remember once we went into this house, some people had invited us over to pray for this young lady that was that had cancer, and the doctors had diagnosed her with cancer and told her to go home and die, essentially because they couldn't do any more for her. And when we walked in the house, there were five gentlemen sitting in the front room there passing around a peach can full of wine, and I'm looking for a way out. But anyway, we went in the kitchen in there, and just a small kitchen, and there was this little bitty lady in there with her head on her hands on the table, laid over, and she was telling us, she told us after we went in there, that she couldn't eat anything but chicken broth or stuff like that, nothing solid, that she couldn't keep it down. And so we asked her if she was saved, and she, of course she said yeah, and we taught her a little bit on faith, and then we prayed for her. And to make a long story short, we came back a couple of weeks later, and we pulled in her driveway, and she came up behind us walking with a sack full of groceries. And the first thing out of her mouth was, she said, "I can eat pork chops now." And she rocked on her. She had gained 4 pounds, and then the next time we came down, she had gained a few more pounds. I mean, she was completely healed, completely healed. And, boy, that was a testimony to all those men around there. And a lot of people came to Christ because of that. And from there, I hooked up with him for about 8 months, and I learned a lot from him. And then God had me leave the church I was in and go to a Pentecostal church, and that's where I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, or learned about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And boy, that was an experience in itself. I was out here in the shop actually when I got baptized, but I'd learned about it in that little Pentecostal church, and that was a great time for me. It was a time that it felt like me and the Lord were just connected, you know. I know a lot of you out there know what I'm talking about. And that gave me a lot of boldness to witness for God. And we went out all the time, out on the streets and knocking on doors and praying for people. And we saw miracles and people get saved and deliverances and things like, you know, one of the things that I did find out though during those years was this, is that if you go into the poor neighborhoods, they will accept you more readily than if you go into the more affluent neighborhoods. And I found out that the poorer the people are, the more they will receive healings quicker than the affluent. And that struck me as funny, but because I thought, you know, the more affluent might be a little bit smarter, but actually they're not. they're smarter than God, I guess, in a lot of ways. But anyway, I hooked up with the John G. Lake Healing Rooms out of Dallas. This man named Curry Blake, and he taught me a lot as well, and I actually opened up a healing room in Lone Oak. And in that healing room, we taught faith and how to pray and to stay with people until they got healed, you know, and that type of thing. And during that period of time, it was about a year and a half, 2 year period of time, we saw many, 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 many healings take place. People from all over the state actually were coming to those Bible studies. It wasn't a great big crowd. We'd have 25 or 30 twice a week. That's when we'd have those. And we saw one of the more dramatic deliverances I saw was a lady that came in, and she was just, I mean, bless her heart, she was just bound up with drug addiction and all kinds of things, you know, and she wanted deliverance, she wanted to get closer to the Lord, and she, you know, all of those things that we all want. And so we prayed for her, and I'm telling you, I've never seen anything. Her eyes rolled up in the back of her head when we started commanding those spirits out and praying, and she slithered out of that chair just like a cartoon. I mean, just like it wasn't a bone in her body. And then she hit the floor. And then once she hit the floor, for just about a 30, 40 seconds, I guess, or so, there was a lot of screaming and stuff like that. But when she was delivered, she shone like a brand new dime. I mean, she was just a light all over her. God had just gloriously delivered her from that. And that was a testimony to the people there that if you persevere, if you endure and you're praying, you keep praying, that, you know, things will happen good things will happen. And that was a good time. We sent out during that period of time a lot of we would pray over claws that people would bring, and they would send them out. And I remember one lady in Texas that had received one of them, and she had also had cancer, terminal cancer, and she was completely healed when she received that cloth. And her faith, I guess, the faith that we were sending with that, the anointing with that thing that God sent with, just healed her. I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was really awesome. We were over in West Memphis one time, which is over in East Arkansas, next to Memphis. And we were in a community center in the lower poor side of town there. And there was a lady there with her young son. Couldn't have been over 4 years old, I guess. And his feet, his toes and his feet were facing one another. He had severe pigeon toes. And she had told us that the doctors had told her that they were going to have to break his legs and reset them two or three times in order to straighten his feet out. And we prayed for him, and God instantly, man, you heard the cracking and the popping in his little legs, and God just straightened him out, and he went to walking straight up and down through there, and boy, the party was on. I'm telling you, we saw many miracles that day. And that's the testimony that God gives us. When signs and wonders follow you, people get saved. When God shows up, people get saved. And many people that day came to Christ when they saw that. Because that was a physical thing that God showed. That was a miracle. And when God does that, many, many people come to Christ. And then they take it out themselves, you know. And that's one of the, I believe in my heart, it's one of the jobs of an evangelist or any of us as far as that goes, is to teach people too, that to have faith, teach people to believe in God and to endure in their faith until they see this thing manifested in their life. Like David teaches about so many times and in so many ways. And I like the way you know, David, I will say this about, I think I've been listening to y'all now about 6 years. 5 or 6 years, I think 6 years this year. Anyway, I knew those scriptures were out there, and I never could put them all together, but I knew them, you know. And then when I read Sovereign God, it was just like a light bulb went off in my brain, in my spirit. And I finally could put all of that together. And it was just the most amazing thing in my walk with Christ, that God just through your Sovereign God book just brought the Word of God to me. It started making sense. It all makes sense now. And then we read Hidden Manna, and that made sense. And I found out, this is very interesting, and you probably already know this, but I give these books out in the jails, and some of the men can understand it right away, and some of them don't. And they all profess to be Christians that are in the Bible studies, and they want to understand it. And, of course, we go over it meticulously with them, chapter by chapter, until they get a grasp of what God's telling them in that book. And once they do grasp who God is and how sovereign He is and what He wants out of us is to believe and to endure in that belief in our faith and acting on that faith and all those things He wants us to do. Just believe. Just believe. If you believe, He says, a time and time again, then, boy, it's just like I did. That light would go on in their minds, and you could see, hey, I understand this now. I understand this now. And I can't tell you the times that the men have really blessed me when you can see that light go off in their eyes, in their minds. And I do a Bible study in home on Tuesday nights, and it's the same way. People come in there, and they don't understand it. They don't understand Sovereign God. And I couldn't figure that out. And I guess God just blinds their eyes until it's time for them to understand. And and that's why we do the Bible study with the Sovereign God, is to teach them, and try to hammer it home that what God is sovereign, that we don't have to worry about anything. It's like He says in Philippians 4:19, don't worry about it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to supply our every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we don't have to worry about anything. We just rest in that knowledge. One time we were witnessing in North Little Rock a few years ago, and this was a dramatic healing that took place, too. The doctors had sent this. She wasn't a very old lady. I guess she was about 35, 40 years old. And she came with bent double. She couldn't. Her back was just tore up, she said. And the doctors couldn't fix it. Now, they'd taken all her money. Now, they'll do that. They'll take all your money, and then they'll send you home not fixed. Or sometimes in worse shape than you came. But anyway, we prayed for her right then, and God miraculously healed her. And my goodness, it was easy for me to know. The whole neighborhood was over there watching that, and many people got saved that day. I say these things because when those signs and wonders, man, it's real easy after that. It's real easy after that. And that's why I was listening to Paul talk, when was it, last week, or week before last, I guess yes. It was, and he said that prayer is, they don't go out unless they pray, and that's true. You shouldn't go out until you just pray and pray and pray, and you know that God wants you to go to these places, and when you know, you can go out there, and you know that God's going to back up His word. He's going to do it, and that's why we see a lot of people saved and healed and delivered because of just praying and communicating with the Lord and finding out where He wants us to go and how He wants us to do these things and what He wants us to say. I know that Paul had talked about if you died today, what would be your eternal destiny? And then he'd say, now, be truthful to yourself. And we use that many, many times in our witnessing with people, and with so-called Christian people, too. And we would, I tell you, you'd be surprised. Just the other night, I had a man call me and wanted me to come over and counsel him and his wife, they were having some problems. And the first thing I asked him, are you saved? Of course, yeah, we're saved, yeah. I said, now, I'm going to ask you a question, just like Paul did. If you died today, be truthful with yourself, where would you go? And, boy, the crocodile tears started flowing, David, and out of both of them. And it was, man, it was downhill from then on for the Lord. I mean, they just, boy, just melted. And we talked to them about, you know, they're having trouble just like a lot of people do. They, you know, trying to justify themselves to one another. And when somebody screams at you, you know, what do you, how do you react, you know? And we went over those things. I think one of the best teachings that I've come across so far for me is How Shall We Die? And that taught me a lot about dying to self. And I teach that a lot to new Christians, how they, you know, need to go ahead and die to the flesh, and let's start walking that right away. But anyway, they came to Christ, and they were, I called them earlier and asked them how they were doing, and they still just, you know, lovey-dovey and with the Lord. And that's the only way that you're going to keep a marriage together that you've had trouble in before. Oh, let's see. In the jails, as you probably know, a lot of the men in the jails have a lot of problems. And there's a lot of deliverances that goes on. But it's always been a pleasure to me. It's always been a blessing to me to go in there and speak to those men. You've got to have a heart for that. You really do. That and the homeless out on the streets. I go to 2 homeless shelters a week and teach there, and we minister there. And I go out on the streets every weekend. And if you don't have a heart for it, you know, you'll lose interest real quick. But I just love those people. And that's what they... That's not really the only way to minister to them, is to love them in the state that they're in right now. When they're, you know, they're out there and they're drug addicts, they're hung over, a lot of them, when we get out there, or they're still high, and you just love on them, and you show them God, and you talk to them about Jesus, and you're sowing seeds, You can't look at what they're doing. You have to look at the spiritual side of it. And that's how I do. I look at them and I see the love of Christ. I show them the love of Christ in my life. And I tell you something, they'll start trusting you. And then they'll start coming to you for counsel. And they want to know more about Jesus. You know, how can I get rid of this addiction that I have? And before long, you know, you're ministering to them, and you some of them do and some of them don't. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like every one of them comes to Jesus right away. But you pray for them. You pray for them daily. Every day I try to pray for those men and women that I see on the streets and in the homeless shelter. And I pray that God would touch their hearts, that God would draw them to Him and grant repentance to them. And I guarantee you, if you stay there long enough, you're going to see the fruits of your sowing. And it's really a blessing to me.
Amen. You know, Michael, those people know when you love them.
Yeah.
And they know when you're just religious.
Yes.
And they know they have never gotten a revelation that God loves them.
Mm-mm.
You know, and they've heard a lot of words. But, you know, like Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And, you know, when God does something for them, His benefits, which He gives to all of His people, even those that, even sometimes those that haven't yet come to Him.
Absolutely.
He gives them to them. And when they realize that this is not just a talking thing, it's a doing thing. It is a God who loves them enough to do something about their problem. When they realize that, then they know God loves them too. Not just
Amen.
You loving them, but God loves them. And that's a big difference. It makes a big difference in their life, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It really does. Though that love that they see, like you said, David, they can tell the difference in somebody coming out there and just to make a scene, just to make a show. But when you go out there weekend after weekend after weekend and you stick with them and you stay with them and you pray with them and you love on them and you hug your necks every time you see them and you remember their names, that's key to a lot of it right there. If you remember some of their names, and you got some that come every week, and you got some that come in and out all the time. But the ones that are there every week, they'll tell them, hey, look, this guy's for real, you know. He's the power of God's on him, and whatever you know, and they leave me alone as far as messing with me and that kind of thing. They'll come down there and we'll eat and we'll minister, and it's just awesome to me. In Matthew 10 and 7 and 8, he says, as you go, preach the kingdom, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And that's what we do. We go out there and we just freely give. We don't ask for anything. Don't want anything from other than to see God work in their lives. And when you go there with that type of attitude, that just to go love on them and you want to see God come alive in their there's a lady, a young lady that we've been ministering to for many, many weeks now. And she's finally gotten off the streets and she's gotten her a place to live, and I gave her a Bible a few weeks ago, and she's now actually she's taking in people now and helping them. So you see, it's a kind of a progressive thing. You show love and teach them love, the love of God, and then they receive that love of God, and they get healed and they get delivered of those demons that have bound them up for so many years, and they want to give it out to, and that's the progression that we need to see. We need to make disciples of these people. We need to make disciples of these people instead of pew sitters, and we do that by example, and only by example. You can't just talk it without walking it. It's because they know. You know, street people are pretty smart. You may not think they are, but I'm telling you, they're smart. I have met everything from out-and-out bums, okay, to all the way up to people with 2 degrees on the streets. And that demon of addiction has just gotten a hold of them and brought them down, and they allowed that demon to just bring them down. And if they allowed it long enough, it'll kill them. We get through. God gets through when you pray. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And you spend a lot of time praying, but that's okay. That's what God wants. And when you do that, you'll see the fruits of God go forth. Right now, a few weeks ago, we had a lady come to me, and she'd been in a motorcycle accident, David, years ago. And she had one leg that was shorter than the other, and it was about, I don't know, 3.5-4 inches shorter than the other one. And we sat there, and I told, there was a minister there with me, young guy, and he was we were helping him, and I told him, I said, well, go ahead and pray that leg out. And as what happens so many times that, you know, Lord, if it be your will, and all that stuff went on. And I said, wait a minute, really? Let's do it this way. Let's do it like Jesus did. He commanded those things to happen. So let's just command that leg to grow out. I said, just command it. Quit all that old religious stuff and get it out. And let's just command that leg to come out in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to watch it grow. And then you're going to stop it before it goes out there another foot and a half. So we prayed for a leg. And of course, the whole assembly there at that time, I was in his church. The whole assembly there was gathered around her, and they saw that leg start growing. And boy, you could have heard a pin drop in there. And it grew out, and I said, Witter, you better tell it to stop, because it'll, you know. And, of course, he, I was just kidding with him, and he said, "Stop in the name of Jesus when you get to the same length as the other one."
Gotta be specific here, right?
Yeah. But anyway, she got up and she was healed, and it was just awesome. And of course, we had a nice meeting. Everybody was willing to listen then. And it was it's when God shows up like that, that it makes it real easy for us. And I just praise God for what He has shown us and what He has given us through the many years of crying out to Him and seeking Him. And David, I guess that's just about it, brother. One thing I would like to say is when I do go out, a lot of times there's a few questions that I ask people. One of them, if I run into somebody that's hard to talk to sometimes, and we all run across them, I'll ask them, what would you do to stay out of hell? And boy, almost invariably, you know, they'll all say, you know, I'd do whatever it takes to stay out of hell. And boy, and then you can go in and you can minister then when they say that. And that's a good one. And I like that, what Paul, I've used that many times as well, is the one where he says, if you die today, you know, what would be your eternal destiny? And make them tell the truth, you know. I used to go and do like, I used to use Ray Comfort a lot. And a lot of his, but I found that that's a little bit confrontational with some people. Now, with other people, it's okay. But with some people, it's very confrontational, and you'll turn them off in a heartbeat, and you won't get anything. But I always try to ask them the spiritual question, you know. What would you do to stay out of hell? I had a barber. My barber, I mean, he's got a trash mouth, boy. He's an ex-Marine. And he's the same age as I am. And one day he was in there and he was trash talking, and I just asked him. I said, "Von, what would you do to stay out of hell?" And he thought a minute. And he stood back and he said, "Well, I guess I'd do whatever it takes to stay out of hell." I said, "Well, then you need to pick up that Bible and start reading and get right with God." He said, "Michael," said, "you're right." Said, "I sure do." So sometimes it takes a shaking like that to get people's attention.
And Michael, when you tell them that and they think about it and they say, "Well, I guess I would do whatever it takes to stay out of hell." And then you tell them, "Hey, it ain't that hard."
That's right.
Let me tell you what Jesus already did for you.
Absolutely. He's already
because they don't
the
know the gospel. They're always thinking, "Well, I got to do something. I'll do what it takes. If I just knew what to do, I would do it." And then when they find out, well, no, God already did it for you.
Yeah.
It's the good news, you know.
He's already paid that fine.
You don't have to go up to heaven or go down to hell, you know.
No.
You just need to accept this wonderful
gift. Accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's basically what we told him. But he's the character. And I guess, David, that's just about it. My testimony is not very long. It's
well, that's good.
We've seen a lot of miracles.
It was very good.